morning, and welcome to Neocotti View. I'm Peter Newman. Hope you had a great Christmas, holidays, and holidays to come. With the new year coming up, we have some officials taking office, and with us this morning is the incoming mayor of Manzanita, Mike Scott. Morning.
Morning. Peter, how are you?
I'm doing great. And you're coming into the mayorship of Manzanita. Congratulations. Why did you decide to run for mayor?
Well, I've been active in the community for a number of years. I sat on the city council for 8 years, and I was on the city planning commission for 3 years before that. And the current mayor's been mayor for 10 years, and he wanted to retire. And I guess it was kind of my turn. I get satisfaction working in the community. We got a great community here, and I love working with the friends and residents that are here. So,
give us a little civics lesson. What is the major duties of city council, mayor, city manager?
Well, the city's actually run by the city manager, who is Jerry Taylor, who retires on January 1st, by the way, after 20 years with us. But he actually runs the day-to-day operations of the city. What the mayor and the city council does is we set policy. And we're unpaid volunteers. Jerry Taylor is paid employee, and he's the only employee that we have any responsibility over to hire or fire. He basically runs the city. So
is the mayor then, chief among equals as compared with the city council?
Yeah, I run the city council meetings. I am kind of the chief among equals. I have a vote, which would be used in a case of a tie on some issue. But I'm kind of the spokesman for the city. I mean, you know, I'm already, even though I don't take office for a week, I still run into people in town and, hey, you know what, mayor, you know, all the time. So I'm kind of the face of the city, I guess.
They're already hitting you.
Yes.
you ran unopposed for mayor. And I understand that in the election this past November, of all the mayorships, there was only one, Nehalem, that was a contested election. Why do you think that is?
Well, the towns of Tillamook, or in mostly rural Oregon, or even rural America probably, they're very small towns. We have a little over 400 registered voters in Manzanita, and there's a lot of opportunities to volunteer and do public service or work, be on a board of a nonprofit and so forth. And there's only so many people around that want to step forward and be like I am, an unpaid volunteer, basically, and take on some responsibility. So I think that's the reason. And even the Halems, even smaller than us, I don't think they have 200 registered voters down there. Just, it was kind of unique this time that two people wanted to wrestle for the job. But it's not uncommon to find city council races and mayor races to be unopposed. Lots of times you have to go out and ask somebody if they'd run, somebody you think is qualified and be willing to give their time. And so it's almost like you got to go out and catch them and bring them in.
So. But at a certain point, to get back to the first question, you've got to decide if you're going to become mayor or work on the city council, whatever, that, you know, I think I can do this job maybe better than somebody else can, or do you, you know, how do you process that in your own head about what you feel you can contribute?
Well, you do step out of a comfort zone a little bit because I'm retired. Most of the people, the full-time residents of Manzanita are retired. Some people take that retirement and don't want to do anything and just kind of enjoy their time. I get satisfaction out of working in the community and trying to solve problems. So that's the reason why I probably step forward. I enjoy being active, and we've lived here. We bought our house here 26 years ago when I was still working, and we've been down here full time now for 12. And in a town this size, it's like going to a small high school. I know everybody. It seems like it, and it's a lot of fun to work in that kind of environment for me anyway. May not be for everybody.
And among the other things that you have done in the past is a pretty amazing career in the Navy. And did any of that prepare you? I mean, in terms of being able to get along with people, command people, work in a confined environment? It was on submarines?
No, I wasn't on submarines, I was on destroyers.
Okay, sorry. Less confined,
yeah,
but it's still a confined space.
Yeah, I look back. I was just talking to somebody the other day about this. You know, once you get down at the beach and you get retired, you're just another retired person, and people don't focus too much on what you did in the past, but I did spend 20 years in the Navy. I also worked in the financial services business and management. I was a regional manager for them. So I've had a lot of experience working with people and dealing with situations. So, you know, at this point in my life, I'm pretty comfortable with dealing with that, and it doesn't get me all excited. You know, if it's a tough situation, I can figure out how to solve it. So I'm comfortable stepping up to the mayor's role. I'm not intimidated by what's going to be involved.
I want to talk about process for a moment, because in the past, the election in November, we had that vote in Manzanita, or I should say you had this vote in Manzanita, because I'm not a voter for the city, regarding the cannabis store that is within the boundaries. And I take it that all turned on whether the council and the city thought they could make a decision independent of the voters, as opposed to just saying, no, this is the way we think it should be. Let's just go ahead and do a vote.
Yeah, the cannabis law is very complicated. I mean, we had a statewide vote a couple of years ago, and it was approved statewide, and it was approved in this area to legalize marijuana. Then the state legislature put a process in place as a municipality. If you wanted to, you could restrict, for example, retail marijuana stores within your community. So we've got plenty of feedback from people that, you know, we're a tourist community, people saying, hey, we don't want one in Manzanita, we got small children here, blah, blah, blah. And we could have, they put that process in place, so we put it on the ballot to give the citizens the right to do that, and it didn't pass. It was a no vote, 2-1, but I think there was about 130 out of our 400 plus registered voter that voted yes. They did want to restrict retail sales marijuana in our community. Now we've had a public vote. It's no longer an issue. Someone can't walk up to me on the street and say, Mayor, why are you allowing a marijuana store at the head of the street? Because this is a nice resort community. I can say, hey, we voted on it. It's done.
So we feel, if nothing else, it just cleared the air.
Everybody's had a voice in it, and it's over. So,
do you expect, are there other issues that come up that might be analogous to that, in which you might say, you know, we could make this decision, but I think we're going to have the voters weigh in on it?
Well, we're coming up is the issue of open burning, and we've had some pushback on that. You know, we're not as rural as we used to be, and whether we should allow residents to have open burning on their property or have burn barrels here. And in the last election, I noticed that Garibaldi had that on their ballot, and it didn't pass. They wanted the issue was to restrict that, and it didn't pass. But we're getting some feedback from people that they don't like open burning. Lots of times you'll have a construction site, and there'll be a bunch of debris, and the contractor will just have a big pile of burning stuff going on, or they'll do it at the golf course after a storm. There'll be a big pile of limbs, and it just puts a lot of smoke in the air, and some people don't like that. So as we go forward, we're going to see
interested in the process of it. Was that something where some concerned residents came to you and said, we want you to address this, or was it something that among the council itself you decided this is something we should look at?
Well, we have an interesting little feedback here in Manzanita. With our water bill, we put out a little newsletter once a quarter, and it has a little cutoff at the bottom that says, if you have any questions or concerns, you can fill this thing out and mail it back. And we got a lot of input on the marijuana issue through that route, and we got input on fire burning, too. But we also had a contingent of people who came to the city council meeting and complained about one particular open burn that the residents didn't like and wanted us to address it, so...
Our guest this morning on Neocone View is the incoming mayor of Manzanita, Mike Scott. City council meetings, how well attended are they?
Well, that's funny. When I walk into the city council meeting and the room is full, I know we're going to have an exciting evening. And sometimes there's very few people there. You know, if it's a dark, rainy winter night, there's nothing on the agenda of any issue. Lots of times we don't get many people. But the agenda is posted on public bulletin boards at City Hall and at the post office, and it's on the city's website so people can look and see if there's anything of interest. And so,
what brings people out?
Interesting topics like the marijuana issue filled the room when we were talking about where you could put that on the ballot. The burn issues brought a lot of people out too. We also have another little issue that we haven't resolved yet. We're going to have to resolve by summer. There's a big contingent of people here who would like us to put in some pickleball courts, which is evidently a very popular substitute for tennis. Instead of using a tennis racket and a typical tennis ball, you you play on a smaller court with a wiffle ball and a wooden paddle kind of thing. And we only have one tennis court in town, and they'd like us to make it dual purpose, and we're trying to debate whether that's going to make any sense or not. So
we're going to see the pitting against... Pickleball versus tennis players being batting it back and forth, throwing that ball back and forth.
We're gathering input right now. I don't know how it's going to come out. We have room to build a pickleball court behind the tennis court in our small city park. We may do that. I've noticed in the wintertime they're using the Nehalem Elementary School gymnasium to play pickleball because it's real easy to put it. The net's kind of portable. It's real easy to set up. But if you... research pickleball, you find across the country is becoming extremely popular. So,
is that part of it? Again, I guess we're talking a lot about process this morning. You know, that's one that would not, if you'd asked me to make a list of things that you might have said, pickleball probably would not have been one of the subject matters. But, of course, you have to address whatever comes before right. you and whatever is of interest to people. Do you sense any patterns over the years about, you know, because in a sense, to take that issue, it's a larger one of how people recreate, which is certainly an issue in any community.
Well, we get a lot of issues about recreating. We're trying to, in Cannon Beach, for example, they built a lot of large parking lots years ago. And if you build a public parking lot, guess what? The cars show up and fill up the parking lot. Our philosophy is not to build parking lots, and we're trying to stress ride your bike or walk to town. And we've had, over the years, we've had a lot of comments on that, how effective that's trying to be. We did build a walking path and a bike path from the state park, where in the summertime there's 1,800 to 2,000 people down there. We want them to take their big RV, park it in the park, walk, or take their bike to town. And it seemed to have worked pretty well. So that's an example of something we struggled through for a couple of years past.
And will in the future, I suspect.
Yes.
Well, that's a sort of microcosm issue in of itself, and that is Manzanita, I've had the sense over the years, has struggled with positioning itself. Is it a tourist destination that wants to encourage a downtown commerce, or is it a bedroom/vacation community that wants to somewhat de-emphasize that? Is that just something that Manzanita and other communities are just going to have to live with, go down the road and balance, or how do you see that?
Well, we're a real unique community. I think we're probably one of the most unique ones on the coast in the fact that our property values are pretty high here. There's some very nice homes in Manzanita, and 75% of them are empty. They're second homes that are owned by people that probably live in Portland or Seattle mostly. Our full-time residents, there's only 600 of us, mostly retired. The average age of full-time residents here is 60 years old. And then we have the third group of people that come here are tourists. We get tourists come from, you go down, we built a visitor center a couple of years ago, and we have a log in there. You go in there and look at the log of the people come in there. They come from all over the world here, and they love this place. So we get these three legs here. You get the second homeowners, you get the full-time residents, and you have the visiting tourists. It's kind of like a three-legged stool. And then I think the seat of the stool is our one little commercial district, Lanita, where we have some grocery stores and shops and coffee shops and stuff, which is very viable. Now you get thoughts from some people that would like to just put a fence around the place and not let anybody else in here anymore. But somehow we have to accommodate all three of those legs, I think. And it's a bit of a challenge. I don't know of any other town around here that's set up that way. So
does it make a difference just from a political standpoint that of those three, only one of them actually casts votes?
Well, that's just it. You got 75% of the homes are empty. They're paying property taxes to support the city, but they're technically not voters here because this is not their primary residence. So that is a challenge. How do you, how does the mayor and the city council and the city address their interests when they really don't have any way to vote on things? So, and you have to somehow keep them in the conversation.
So if you have a city council hearing that you will chair, and you do listen to, if mm-hmm. somebody who's not a resident shows up for a city council meeting and says, I'm not a resident, but I have a second home here, this is what I think. You listen to them.
We listen to them. At the start of our city council meetings, we all introduce ourselves, and we ask people to say, like you say, I have a home here, I don't live here full-time, or I'm a full-time resident, so you know who these people are, and try to have an open discussion. I mean, one of the issues we have here is short-term rentals of homes. Many years ago, 20 years ago, they set a cap, 17.5% of the second homes could be rented. And then we have a short-term rental tax, which is a fairly significant amount of money, which helps us run the city. And we're always dealing with issues of that. We have a certain number of people, what I call pirate renters, that are not going through the process of getting a city license and paying the taxes. And we're trying to rein that in a little bit. But those people that are renting their homes, they don't get a vote on anything because they don't live here.
Mm-hmm. And, at the same time, that is, as you say, it's an economic resource for mm-hmm. the community. And I suppose for those who are here, it helps them afford the homes and keeps the property intact.
Yeah, the way I look at it, we all got to support each other. The business community downtown needs the tourists. The second homeowners have a economic interest here in their homes. And then the full-time people who live here full-time have an interest, too, and you have to accommodate all of them. So sometimes it's hard for someone who may be older and retired down here to understand that on a Saturday in the summer, their neighbor next door, who's down from Portland for the weekend with their grandkids, are making too much noise after 9 o'clock in the hot tub because the older couple want to go to bed. I mean, that you'd be amazed how many times that comes up. But we have to accommodate everybody. So,
our guest this morning on the Economy View is the incoming mayor of Manzanita, Mike Scott. A few months ago, I got up in the morning, phone rang. A friend of mine said, "Did you hear the news?" And I said, "What news?" And of course, like other people, I was told that a tornado had dropped down. And a little later, I get a piece of email from a friend in the UK making sure that the pub wasn't hit. I guess he's got his priorities. Boy, Manzanita getting on the national, even international news. What was that? What was that like?
Well, I'll tell you my story. What I was doing that morning, I normally walk my dog down to a coffee shop downtown, but it was raining so hard that day, I decided just to go down and get the paper and get a cup of coffee in my car. And I was driving back home, and I missed that thing by about 5 minutes. It was raining so hard, I thought I'd have to pull a car over and stop because the windshield wipers couldn't clear the water. By the time I got home, the hail was coming down bigger than I've ever seen in Oregon. And then I heard this big swoosh, and you could hear transformers blowing all over town. And then my phone got the message of a tornado warning. So my wife and I hid in the basement bathroom till the warning was lifted about 10:30. I didn't really know what was going on until I got outside and started looking around. But it was so nearly focused, it missed our house and my whole neighborhood. But it just caught everybody by surprise. It was only, I understand, about 700 feet wide and across our main street of Lanita at an angle, diagonally, and went about 3/4 of a mile up to 101 and stopped and knocked down like a third of the trees in our town. I was like, we figured over 300 trees and damaged 128 buildings and businesses. And we had fire departments came from everywhere. The emergency response was great. They came from Seaside, Cannon Beach, all the way up from Garibaldi. And all these firemen went through all the buildings looking for people who would be hurt. And they went through three times because they couldn't find anybody hurt. And they kept thinking, well, we must have missed somebody. Somebody's got to be hurt. And they weren't.
Yeah, but very lucky.
It was
very
amazing. Amazing lucky. The main business on the main street there is where the kids catch the school bus. And this was a Friday, and it was an in-service day. And they weren't there to catch the school bus that day, which is really amazing. But it did bring everybody out of the woodwork. I got phone calls from people I hadn't talked to since high school. Want to know how I was doing.
Well, is the is has the response been largely an individual one between property owners and their insurance companies, or is there a more coordinated city effort?
There's been a pretty good. It's gone amazingly well, even though there's still you can still see damage. I after I saw Latrice down the first morning, I thought, oh my goodness, you know, I'm coming in as mayor. This is going to take years for us to ever get back. But we snapped back really quick. Everybody came together the first day and cleared the streets and the public right-of-ways of all these trees. I think we were done in about 48 hours. And then the public utility district said we'd be without power for 1 to 2 weeks. And they got the power up in 48 hours. They worked around the clock. So that was amazing. Then everybody just chipped in on private property, started helping their neighbors and property owners. Insurance people came down right away. We did contact the state insurance commissioner, and they sent down some experts to help our residents, because everybody's got different insurance companies and got different responses to make sure everybody was getting a fair shake. But it's gone amazingly well.
Have there been any public property issues? I
mean, yeah, there's some property, some businesses on Lanita. And the insurance company is going to come in, and you may look at it and say, well, this should be tore down. And the insurance company's going to say, no, we'll give you enough money to rebuild it. And then there's some negotiation. It's kind of like when you crash your car. The insurance company is going to tell you, well, you get a new car, it's totaled, or it's not totaled, we'll fix it. And it's the same process. And it's still going on. I mean, it's going to be a while before we're whole. We did have a tree planting deal a few weeks ago where we planted 200 trees in the city on the Friday after Thanksgiving, which was a public effort. So we're coming along, and we're in business. I know the merchants were real worried after the first few weeks because nobody was coming down because they thought we'd been wiped off the map. But, yeah, we're in business. We're doing fine.
And kind of a little lesson, maybe more than a little, in how this or other communities might handle upcoming disasters or weather issues or whatever might get thrown at you.
Well, we're pretty well known down here for our emergency volunteer corps. Years ago, after a big storm we had down here, we weren't too organized, and we formed this organization, which piggybacks on top of the fire department. We have a lot of people that are certified in medical response and different kind of responses, and we activated that group, which is all volunteers, and that helped directing traffic and doing all kinds of things. So it worked really well.
What is Manzanita going to look like in 10, 15 years? Is it going to look the same? Going to be different? does it depend on who you ask?
It worries me because I grew up in Portland, and I've worked both in Portland and Seattle, and those two communities are on fire right now with people moving in. The Northwest is very popular, and Portland's growing fast. And what happens on the weekends, they like to recreate on the coast. So we're going to be challenged with more and more visitors, more and more development. And all we can do is try to manage it. Because we got a quaint little village community here in Manzanita that everybody loves. And how do we maintain that and don't get smothered by the number of people that are evidently moving into the urban areas of Seattle and Portland?
Well, can Manzanita grow?
Well, we're a little... One thing that works in our favor is we're not on 101. Most cities and communities on the Oregon coast, 101 goes right through the community. You got to know where we are and take a right or left-hand turn to find us. But we've got state parks on each side of us and the ocean on one side and 101 on one side. So we're kind of compartmentized and it insulates us from some development, but we're still going to get pushed. I know we're going to get pushed with more development. So,
does that mean more density, more... homes, multifamily homes? What does that look like?
I don't know. I just know it's probably coming. Before we had the economic collapse in 2008, we had a lot of interest in some big money developments here that kind of dried up when the housing market collapsed. But I see those interests kind of coming back. I mean, we're going to end up with like a microbrewery here, maybe another hotel. I mean, I just don't know. But I have a feeling it's coming because of the growth in the big cities near us.
And so. You mentioned earlier the high property values in Manzanita. And the flip side of that, I guess if you own a piece of property and you want to pass it on to your kids, that's good. If you If you're younger, raising a family, trying to find affordable housing, trying to find a living wage around here, that's another matter. I mean, that's the tension with all of these little communities.
It's another issue on our list is we don't have any worker housing or affordable housing here. I mean, this is a high-end resort community. I think the average cost of our homes is somewhere around $400,000. It's one of the highest in the state of Oregon. And you're right, family can't come down here and buy a home here. They can if they go south of here where the property value isn't quite so much, but right within our little community, it's hard, and we're working on that. And all the businesses are looking for workers right now. There's just not enough employees to go around.
Well, is there a city role in addressing that? Or, because I imagine the other side of it is that don't mess around with my ability to make money off of my property.
Yeah, I don't know that we have an easy answer as Manzanita by ourselves. The county has a task force they put together on affordable housing, and we're going to piggyback on that. And we need to work with the other small towns around here, Wheeler and Nehalem. I think it's going to be more of a small regional issue than just a Manzanita issue. Because we're really a small, our city limits of Manzanita are pretty small. And there's a lot of people that live around here, but they're outside of the city. So it's got to be more of a regional thing, I think. But it's no easy answer to it. We've tried to do it before, and you start to build what you think is affordable housing, and before you know it, market forces take over, and it's not affordable anywhere. So it's, and what do you, let's say you build affordable housing for workers, and you've built it somehow for them, and they come here. You can't tell them they have to work in Manzanita. Maybe they pick up and they work in Cannon Beach, but you've built the housing for them. And there's all kinds of issues with that.
And you were mentioning the cooperation between the communities, Nehalem and Wheeler to the south. I would think that would be an unmitigated good, but everybody's got their territory and their own issue that they want to protect as well.
Yeah, it's not easy. I mean, there's going to have to be a lot of talking going on before we get it all sorted out, I think.
Did the fire and emergency response, does that serve as sort of a template for how you can make it work?
Well, in years past, we consolidated the wastewater agency through the areas in North County, and we also combined the volunteer fire departments about 8 years ago, which was a logical thing to do. We tried to consolidate the water districts at one time, and that didn't fly. We all pretty much have our own water districts. So, yeah, there's a lot of turf battles that goes on there. There even was some talk in this recent election of maybe the cities of Wheeler, Nehalem, and Manzanita should be merged together into one community. But we all are so different, I don't know how it would work, to tell you the truth. I mean, so we're just going to have to see, I guess.
Well, a lot in your plate as you are coming in. what happens day one?
That's a good question. One of the things we're working on right now is, as I said, Jerry Taylor, our city manager, is retiring January 1st, but he's going to stay on for a while and work part-time, 20 hours a week, and we are in the process of interviewing some people for an assistant city manager job. Hopefully, if it works out perfectly, this person will mentor under Jerry as he works part-time for a while and then get accepted for the full city manager's job. But we're going to have to see how that works. So as a new mayor coming in, I don't want to lose the city manager of 20 years just to walk out the door on the first day I come in. So he's going to help us for a while.
Well, just as we're heading toward the new year, Mike Scott, the incoming mayor of Manzanita, thanks for taking the time. Best wishes, best luck on the upcoming job.
Well, thank you, Peter. It's been nice.
And to the rest of you and to all of us, Mike included, have a great New Year's and a happy 2017, and we will see you next year on Neocon Evening.